All right, let's take our Bibles, open to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. And it's kind of funny, it never ceases to amaze me how many times a song that we're going, or that we sing before the message has so much to do with the message that's going to be preached. And I don't think the guys know what I'm preaching, but the Lord just kind of works it out that way, and so that's just kind of neat to see that. And the song we were just singing was I Surrender All, right? And hopefully it's not just something that we sing, but it's something that we truly desire to surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to surrender and be whatever He would want us to be, to go wherever He would want us to go. And so that's kind of going to be kind of along that lines tonight as we come to the book of Hebrews. And so we're in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, and kind of be coming down to verse number 14, verse number 12, and we'll read down a couple verses here. He says in verse number 12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." It's a really interesting passage of Scripture here, and I'll be very honest with you. Many times I have focused, when I've come to Hebrews chapter 12, in these first 11 verses. Of course, verses number 1 and 2 is such great verses where he talks about running this race, and again, how we're supposed to run it. He says, lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. He tells us where we're supposed to look, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame that was set before him. And so he tells us how and what we're supposed to be looking at, and even how long we're supposed to be running this race until the Lord comes. And then in verses 3 down to verse number 11, as we looked at last week, there is this this thought of, you know, what do we do when we get discouraged and when we quit, and how there is the God can chasten us to try to get us back on the right track and things. And again, I'll be honest with you, that's kind of where a lot of times my, you call it Bible reading or study, has kind of stopped. And I'm kind of ashamed of myself. Because after looking at these next verses, it's really just amazing how these verses play such a role in the beginning of this chapter here. And the encouragement here in verses 12 down to verse number 17 is really, you know, he's told us we're running a race. He's told us what happens when we quit the race and when we get discouraged or whatever. But now in this passage, really, he's encouraging us to keep running the race. Keep running. And again, this race that we're running is not just some 100-meter dash, right? And there's no doubt, and please don't get me wrong, you know, these guys that run a 100-yard dash or whatever, they're fast. There's no doubt about it, you know. I don't know who it is currently, but Usain Bolt used to be like the fastest man in the world, right? Running that 100-yard dash. But the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. And I got to thinking about races that I know about, and I thought, well, you've got the 100-yard dash, and then you've got this 1500 marathon, right? You got this 1500 where, you know, it's over like a kilometer and a half, right? And then, you know, you've got, you know, these people that like to do like 5Ks. You know, I thought that was a long race, right? A 5K. And then they told me about these half marathons that are like, what is it, like 13.1 Ks, right? Is it miles? Is it 13.1 miles, right? And then you can do a full marathon, which is like 26 miles or something like that, right? And I thought, good night. I mean, those people are nuts anyway, right? So I actually Googled, what are some of the hardest races that people run? And I was shocked because this half marathon, full marathon is nothing. Those are nothing compared to some of these races that people run. And I'm thinking, I can barely do a 5K. I am a wimp. I am nothing, right? Listen to this. There's one called the Hard Rock 100-mile endurance race. Kudos to him. You have 48 hours to complete this race. 100.5, like 100's not enough, but 100.5 miles that go through roads, dirt trails, along the San Juan Mountains. They climb around 33,000 feet. They descend another 33,000 feet. At the highest point is over 14,000 feet on Handy's Peak. Every year, the course changes direction. Who thought of that? Oh, and this is what it says. And be careful. The course is so harsh that elite runners fall, dislocate their shoulders, and get lost. There's another one called the Plain 100. This 100-mile self-sufficient race sounds like its name, Plain. It's not, okay? It was created in 1997 as an ode to the beautiful remote trails woven through Plain, Washington. This race is a fight. Race should not be a fight, okay? It's a fight between the runner and the road. You have 36 hours to finish this 100-mile race. Only 50% finish the race. And there are no course markings. There are no aid stations. There are no pacers. So don't get lost, because if you do, you're on your own. That's what they say. There's the Barkley Marathon. This is what it says. Welcome to five loops of death. I'm not making this up, right? This is what they say. If you're strong enough to make it that far, deep in the backcountry of Tennessee lies a 100-plus-mile course, in quotes or parentheses, likely longer, created to break anyone who attempts it. Some highlights include a conch shell in the middle of the night that alerts you to the start. Well, that's what I would want to go for right there, you know. I want to run this race because a conch shell is going to be blown in the middle of the night to wake you up to say, get going, right? 120,000 estimated feet of climbing and descent if you do the whole thing. Nice views of the valley while simultaneously being pierced by briars. One loop basically equals a marathon distance, and runners must complete the loop 5 times in under 60 hours to be crowned a finisher. In more than 30 years, there have only been a handful of individuals who've completed it. And in 2019, no one finished. What is wrong with people? Listen to this one. This is called the Self-Transcendence 3,100-mile race. The longest certified road race and possibly the most miserable. This ultra-historically race starts at 6 a.m. on summer morning in Queens. From then until midnight, every day for 52 days, participants run the same route. An average of 60 miles a day for 52 days. The same route. The race originated in 1997, has been enticing runners ever since. Why? We have no idea. That's what they say. I mean, I was thinking, you know, 5K, that's, man, you do a 5K, you know. And then I heard of these half marathons, full marathon. Man, these guys that do full marathons, these guys are like, you know, I mean, no. There's 100-mile races, 3,100-mile, and this is just four of the ones that I picked out to read, right? Do you understand? That's more like the Christian life. We have this idea that, man, get saved, you got a 100-yard dash, and everything's going to be over. No, my friend, it is not. And these 100-mile races through loops of death and everything like this, can we not say, hey, in the Christian life, are there not beautiful views of valleys? Yeah, absolutely. And is there not briars poking us and difficulties and hills to climb? And yeah. You see, that's more like the race that he's talking about here. Not this, oh, here's a really nice track right here, and you're going to run out here, and you're going to run in a circle, you know, and everybody's going to be cheering you on and seeing what you're... That's not it. And so when he's talking about this race that we're running, again, this is the idea. And so can you understand why he's going to say what he's about ready to say in verse number 12? Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees... Right? I mean, can you imagine these people that are running? I mean, let alone these people that are idiot enough to try to do it in the time period, the 48 hours or the 60 hours or whatever, right? I mean, whatever. But just to try to do it in and of itself, a 100-mile race, a 3,100-mile race, right? Put aside the time zone, the time periods or whatever. To finish it takes endurance. To finish it takes dedication. And by the time you finish it, are your knees not going to be wobbly like jelly? Are you just going to be so exhausted and worn out? You ever felt like that in the Christian life? And we haven't got to the end yet, have we? Maybe we're only 20 miles into this 100-mile race. Maybe we're only 5 miles in. Maybe some of us are 50 miles in. I don't know. This is what he says. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You see, these drooping arms and the tired knees, they're signs of those in total and utter exhaustion. Totally exhausted. I can remember when I tried to run a 5K, at the end of the 5K, my knees were wobbly, right? Okay, I told you, I'm a wimp, all right? Just, you know, running just obviously is not my forte, okay? But I remember after a 5K, man, I was exhausted. I mean, I couldn't go another step. When I crossed the finish line, you know, you see, you watch these races. Racers will cross the finish line, and they're jumping around. Like, I'm like, I was on the ground. I wasn't jumping around. And look at me. I was down. I'm like, I'm done. I'm not. I finished it. Finished, right? That's what he's talking about. There's this total exhaustion, utter exhaustion. The race is long. Sometimes we get off track. And what happens? As we just saw last week, our Father has to get us back on track. Sometimes we get disheartened by opposition and persecution. Remember what we read in Hebrews chapter 11? All of these that were being persecuted and things like this, those that were being sawn asunder and slain with the sword and wandering about in deserts. Hey, sometimes we can get disheartened because of persecution and opposition. But this is what he's saying. There's still hope in the race. There's still a race that needs to be run. And when we are in despair and we're in utter exhaustion, what are we to do? What do we do when we're in despair? What do we do when we feel like we've been running and we can't run another step? What do we feel like when we're just, what do we do when we're just feeling exhausted with the weight of the world and family and trying to serve the Lord and the job problems and all these things? What do we do with this? We feel just exhausted. What do we do? We do exactly what he said back in verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, can I tell you? It's normal, right? Sometimes we get this idea, if I'm not a super spiritual Christian, I mean, I can't ever be tired, and I can't ever get discouraged, and I can't ever be exhausted, and I've just got to have it all together. Look, friend, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. We've got to understand, hey, this is not a 100-meter dash or 100-yard dash. This is a long race, and there are going to be times in the race we're just exhausted. There are going to be times in the race where, hey, you know what? This over here looks a little bit better than this race that I'm running. There are going to be times when we might think, you know what, maybe it'd be better just to quit. So what do we do during those times? Because can I tell you, it's not, and listen to what I'm saying, it's not wrong to feel that way. That's we're going to feel that way. That's part of life, right? But how we respond to that is what is really going to determine the rest of the race. How we respond to those times. Because let's face it, the exhaustion and the despair and the tiredness, look, all our flesh is saying is what? Quit, give up. So are we going to let our flesh win, or are we going to look to Jesus and say, God, I can't do this without you. I need your strength to take the next step. I need your strength to go this next mile. I need your strength. And this is what he's saying, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We must exercise our faith. And this is why he says, when you go back up to verse number 11, right? So in verse number 12, he says, wherefore lift up the hands, right? You've heard me say this. You've heard my dad say it. You've heard Brother Joel say it. Whenever you see the word wherefore or therefore, what do? See what it's there for, right? In other words, there's a continuation that is taking place here. He says, wherefore? Well, wherefore? What is he talking about? Go back up to verse number 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. He said, look, none of us enjoy having to be corrected. None of us enjoy that. None of us enjoy persecution. None of us enjoy opposition. None of us enjoy being exhausted, right? None of us enjoy those things. But he says, we have to understand, in order for our faith to grow, in order to be able to run this race that God has for us in our life, our faith has to be exercised. It's got to be exercised. Look, I have no idea how fast Usain Bolt can run a 100-meter dash, but I can tell you this. He's going to have to prepare and exercise differently to run a 100-mile race. To be able to do, I mean, yes, even to run a 100-meter dash, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he's exercising, he's training, he's doing that, but that's short. It's quick. I mean, it's like within, what, 10, 15 seconds probably? We're talking years. Years of running. Years of this race. And so he says, look, our faith is going to have to be exercised, right? You don't just wake up one morning, I hope you don't do this, and be like, man, you know what? Pastor talked about that 100-mile race yesterday. I think I'm going to do that today. You're nuts, okay? You're nuts. Now, if you'd be like, hey, you know what? I'd really like to do that one day, and I'm going to start training, and I'm going to start exercising, and I'm going to start preparing so that 20 years from now, I can run that 100-mile race, all right? Great, go ahead. But in order to run that race and finish it, you're going to have to exercise. You're going to have to prepare. You're going to have to be ready for it. And this is what he's saying. Hey, we have to allow God to exercise our faith to be able to run the race that he has for us to run. And our problem is again, we just want everything to be easygoing, no problems, no issues. We want it to be just running around a track so that there's no obstacles, no issues, nothing like that. God says, that's not the race that we're going to run. And in order to run the race that I have for you, I need to be able to exercise your faith. I need to be able to help your faith to grow so that you can run the race that he wants us to run. We have to allow him to exercise our faith and grow stronger in our Christian walk so that we are not in despair, so that we're not exhausted, so that we can run the race that he wants us to run. I guarantee you, you take somebody that's running these 100-mile races and you put them next to me, I might look trimmer and fit, you know, than they are, whatever, you know, I might, you know. Some of you, I think you're asleep, right? Yeah, no, that's not it. But you know what, I can tell you, I could start off, but I can tell you this, probably within less than 3 miles, I'm going to be wore out. I'm going to be wore out. And that's the way a lot of Christians are running. We're starting to run this race, and we get into it, and we run, and we run, and run, and guess what happens? We get wore out. We get exhausted. Why? Because we're not allowing God to increase our faith. We're not allowing him to exercise our faith. And so because of that, man, what do we find? This race is, it's grueling, it's hard, it's laborious, and we haven't even gone very far, and we're thinking, man, this is what's going to happen the rest of my life. I'm going to have to run this race the rest of my life. I haven't even made it a couple years, and I've got years to live. Maybe this isn't worth it. Wait a minute. It's not that the race isn't worth it. It's not, you're not allowing him to exercise your faith. You're not allowing him to help you to grow spiritually, to be what he wants you to be, so that you can run the race that he wants you to run. And this is why he's talking about here, as he's saying here, look, we have a race to run. We know the direction we're supposed to run. That's what he says, looking unto Jesus. We look at him. Again, think about what he says. I believe it's in Philippians. He says, I just lost the verse. Hold on a second. Don't you hate that when that happens? You're like thinking of it. And then it just like goes, and then as soon as you find it, you're like, that's what it was. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So think about that. He says in Philippians 2:13, he says, God is going to give you the desire, and he's going to give you the ability to do it. Right? So he's given us this desire to run this race. I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I think when a person truly gets saved, they truly have a desire to be obedient to God. That there's the Holy Spirit is there, and there truly is a desire to want to follow God and be obedient, right? He's begun a good work, right? He's given us the desire. There's a desire there to do that work that he's called us to do. But here's what happens. It's like this race. We start going for a while, but we're going in our own strength. Man, I've been in church all my life, or I've heard the Bible, or I've gone through discipleship, and I'm learning this, so I think I've got it. And we start running in our own strength, and what happens is not very long after we've started running, we're like, I'm exhausted. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to quit. I can't do this, the whole thing. Well, wait a minute, hold on. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, he says, look, he said he started it. He's going to give you the ability to do it. Did he lie? Then why do I feel like quitting? Why do I feel like I'm so exhausted? Why do I feel like I'm so tired? Why do I feel like that everything is just so hard and so against me and I just want to give up? You felt that way? Because we're not allowing him to exercise our faith. We're not allowing him to help us to grow in our Christian walk to be where he wants us to be. And so he says, look, I know, yes, I know there's going to be times of persecution. I know there's going to be times of difficulty. I know there's going to be times where we start getting off and the Father has to correct us. But he says, here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Keep running the race. Keep running the race. You can't run it in your own strength. So watch what he says here, right? He says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. I really thought I was going to get from 12 to 17 tonight, and I realize I am not. It's not going to happen. What's that? Yeah, keep running the race. That's right. I've always got next week, right? I can come back again, right? So watch what he says here. Wherefore, and again, this is, I really do want to go a little bit slower through this because this is just so good. It's so good. He says, wherefore, because of what we've just talked about, there's a race that we're running. Our faith needs to grow. And yes, sometimes the chastening is there. It's not pleasant to us, but there's a purpose behind it. God's trying to bring that fruit of righteousness out if we'll allow him to exercise our faith. So he says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, right? So think about this. What's he saying? Again, this idea of the weariness, the exhaustion that is there. Are we willing to allow our Lord to exercise our faith? Why don't you hold your place here in Hebrews? Go back with me to the book of Job. Go back to the book of Job. In the book of Job, Job chapter number 4. Job chapter 4. Now, think about Job, right? Here's a man, God says of Job. This isn't some man saying this of Job. This is God saying this of Job. Here's a man that eschews evil. He loves God. He hates evil, right? I mean, this is what God says. He was a perfect and upright one that feared God and eschewed evil. And we know the trials that Job went through. If you've never read the book of Job, you can read it and you can see how Job was very wealthy and Satan comes along and he's trying to get Job to do what? To quit on God. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get Job to quit on God. Friend, that's exactly what Satan's trying to do to you. He's trying to get you to quit on God. And he'll do anything he can to try to get you to quit. And so he comes to God and says, hey, God, you know, what about, you know, God says, what you been doing? He said, I've been going up and down throughout the whole earth. You know, I'm basically saying I'm looking to see who I can get to quit. And here's what God says. Have you considered my servant Job? Now, can I say, and this is going to be completely honest here. I want to have a faith that is growing, and I want to have a faith that God is using, but I don't know if I want God to bring my name up before Satan. I mean, you know, obviously God knew what he was doing, but I don't know if I would want God to say, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Andrew? Lord, can it be some other Andrew, you know, somebody else? But God says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, well, yeah, but you know, you've got a hedge of protection about him. And I love that passage where he says, your hedge of protection is about him. I can't touch him. And God says, all right, I'll let you touch his family. I'll let you touch his property. I'll let you touch his herds and things like that. But you cannot touch his body. You cannot touch him. And of course, you know what happens. In one day, he loses everything. He loses all of his herds, his camels, his donkeys, I mean, everything. And then his servant comes and he says, hey, your children were here together and a wind came and the house was blown down and all your children are dead. You want to talk about God testing your faith? Job says, lost everything. And this is what Job said. The Lord giveth. Or he says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I said, that's powerful. We read over that just simply, but that's powerful to see what this man went through, and then to be able to say, the Lord gave, and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan comes back again. God says, hey, what about my servant Job? Well, you know, he still hasn't cursed you. He still hasn't quit, but that's because you haven't let me touch his body. God says, okay, you can touch his body, just can't take his life. Can't touch, you can touch his body, but you cannot take his life. So he gets boils and he gets this sickness. And he still does not quit on God. And watch what he says here in Job chapter 4. In Job chapter 4, notice what he says here. He says, in verse number 3, he says, behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. This is what Eliphaz is saying about Job. This was Job's testimony. He says, you have instructed many, you have strengthened the weak hands, those that were weak, those that were discouraged. He says, thy words have upholden them that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. He said, Eliphaz says about Job, and again, Eliphaz wasn't the greatest of friends, but at least he understood what kind of a man Job was. Job was a man that even through difficulties and hardships, and we don't know all that transpired in Job's life. I can almost assuredly tell you this, that the trial that Job went through that day was not the first time God had touched his faith. There had been many along the road that God had strengthened and exercised Job's faith until he finally brought him to this point. And that's why Job was able to say, hey, not just because of this, because maybe I'm just speaking where I shouldn't speak here, but I can almost guarantee you if this was the first time that Job had ever experienced any trial or difficulty in life, he would have quit. He would have quit. If that was the first time and he lost everything and he lost his family, his children, he lost his health, I guarantee you Job would have quit. But because of the many times that God had already worked in his life and exercised his faith, and his faith in God was strengthened and growing, and seeing that God was the one that gave everything, and that finally when he got to this point and he loses everything, he's able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he had allowed God to exercise his faith. And he had seen when others were weak and when others were discouraged and when others were down and others were having difficulty, Job was one that came alongside and encouraged them and helped them. This is what Job did. Now, I want you to look what we see here. Go back to Hebrews. And this is what he's saying. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. I think there's two parts of what he's saying here, right? He's saying, look, if you're discouraged and you're exhausted and you're thinking about quitting, keep going. Keep going. Look to Jesus, get strength that you need from him, and keep going. But notice he doesn't say, lift up your hands which hang down. What does he say? Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You see, because there's a part of this race that really is amazing. And again, we talk about, you know, runners, you know, and they're running a race, they're running that race that God has set before them, and that's true. But there's an aspect to running a race, the Christian race, that is very, very different than running a 100-yard dash or running this 100-mile thing or whatever. It's very different. There are those running with you. Look around tonight. Everyone here tonight is running the race with you. Now, they're not running your race. They're running their race. But they're running with you. We get this idea as Christians, I don't need anybody else. I can do it on my own. Friend, you couldn't be farther from the truth. You cannot do it on your own. That's why the church is so important. That's why fellowship and communion together is so important, to be able to encourage one another. And this is what he says, lift up the hands that have fallen. Hey, can I tell you something? You might say, well, hey, the race seems to be going really good right now for me. Look around. It's not going good for everybody right now. It may not be going good for everybody. And you say, well, hey, you know, I don't see a whole lot of people that are being discouraged. Hey, can I tell you? You ought to look around and say, hey, is there somebody that I could encourage? Somebody like Job say, hey, it was said of Job, hey, I know you've lifted up other people and you've helped to strengthen the weak knees and you've spoke words of encouragement and things. Hey, let that be said of every Christian. He says, lift up the hands which hang down. You keep going, but also, and we're gonna see this as we get into this, be aware of those around you that are running as well, that need encouragement. Because, hey, can I tell you something? There's going to be times when you're running and you're not feeling too good. And you know what you need? You need somebody to come alongside and encourage you. You need somebody to come alongside and say, hey, I know it's been difficult lately, but I just want to encourage you. I want to lift up your hands. I want to encourage you. Hey, I know your knees are weak and man, you're getting exhausted and things are, hey, why don't you come over? Let's have supper together. Let's have lunch together. Let's grab a coffee together. Let's pray together. What are you doing? You're trying to encourage them. You're trying to lift them up. And this is what he's saying. We've got to be aware. He says, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Look, there are those who are watching as well. And if we fail and quit, what's he say? He says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. It's interesting what he says here. When he talks about make straight paths for your feet, I was really perplexed by this. I was like, all right, he's talking about lifting up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. Okay, I get that. But make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Now, what's he saying here? I mean, sure, you know, it's easy. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier to run, you know, in an arena where, you know, the track is just smooth and flat and everything's in a big circle and you just keep running around and around and around. That'd be pretty easy, but I know that's not the race that we're running. We're running these that are up and down and around and all kinds of things. So what does he mean when he says, make straight paths for your feet? And when I started looking at this, I was just absolutely amazed. The idea of when he says, make straight path, shows that we are going before others. Right? So we're kind of leading in what we're doing. So in order to make the path straight, in order to make sure that he says here, that the lame that are not turned out of the way, he says, you make sure that the direction you're going is void of any obstacles or anything else that would cause somebody behind you to fall. So it's like, you remember this is years and years ago, right? There was like the Oregon Trail and there was these other trails that these pioneers would go and they would, you know, they would cut through the mountains and they would cut through the trees and the forest and they would prepare this road. That's what he's saying. You go in front and you make it so that those coming behind have it easier. Not that they're not going to have a race to run, but they're watching what you're doing. And so you're finding out, hey, man, here's a forest here, and maybe I'm going to cut through the trees or I'm going to go around this so it's not going to hinder our travel. And he says, what you're doing is you're setting the example, and we want to avoid obstacles so that others don't fall. Make it as clear and straight as we can for those coming behind us. Whether that would be your children, whether that would be your grandchildren, whether that's the next generation, whether that's other young people in this church, he says, hey, the way you're running, other people are following. How are you running? Are you running and creating obstacles that they're going to fall over? Or are you running in such a way that you're trying to avoid obstacles, you're trying to avoid these things that could cause, and this is what he says, the lame or the weak to be turned out of the way? He says, we're setting the example. Yeah, I know there's some that have gone on before us, right? And we're trying to follow them, and we're hoping that they've made a clear path for us. But we've got others that are coming behind us too. And he says, hey, you've got to understand, just as we need to encourage them, we also need to make sure that the path they're running and they're following us in is the right path. It's a biblical path. It's the way that God wants us to go, because we got to be careful. If we're not following God, what are we doing? We're leading other people away on a wrong path. So he says, you make sure that you make the path straight. You make sure. And this is what he says. You go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. Isaiah, chapter 59. Isaiah, chapter 59. Notice what he says in verse number 8. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. What do you say? They've made crooked paths. They've made paths that people are stumbling and following, and he says that they have no peace at all in their life because of these crooked paths that they've made. Not so much that the path is like zigzagging, but there's obstacles and there's all kinds of brush and everything. They haven't cleared it well. They haven't given a clear direction. He's saying, hey, as a Christian, if we're going to follow Jesus, by the way, that's why he says looking unto Jesus. Because if we're looking unto Jesus, guess what? Our path is going to be clear. It's going to be clear. It's when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we start getting off the path that we start stumbling and finding all these difficulties in life. And so he says, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Let it rather be healed. He said, we have a job to do. Look, we're running a race, and there's a whole group of believers running. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that there are others that are running that I can look to and I can say, hey, what should I do about this issue? What should I do about this? I'm thankful that there are others running that when I get discouraged, they see that and they try to lift up my hands. And they see my knees are weak and wobbly and they come alongside and they try to encourage me. And I want to do the same thing for others. That's what every one of us ought to do. Hey, every one of us is running the race. Every one of us ought to be willing to lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. But the thing we've got to remember this. He says, we are setting the example. We're setting the example for our children, our grandchildren, the next generation, other children in this church, for our community. We're setting the example. He says, we need to make sure that we're running the right race, running a clear race. There's a clear path in what we're doing. It doesn't mean it's not going to be up. Doesn't mean it's not going to be down. Doesn't mean it's not going to be this way, that way, no. But we're running a clear race with a clear direction in what we're doing in our life. You know, I believe one of the reasons why so many times we get exhausted and we get discouraged is because we don't know where we're supposed to be running. We don't know where we're supposed to be running. We just like, well, there's a great big world out here, so I'm just going to take off. And we're going in the wrong direction. And that's why he says, looking unto Jesus, that's why our path has got to be found in the Word of God. As we get in the Word and we look to Him and we follow Him, can I tell you, I'm not saying it's still not going to be difficult. Look at Job's life. There were some difficulties there, but it was clear in what he was doing. Even though there was obstacles and even though there was, man, I'm going to tell you, I would say a pretty big old mountain to overcome. He was clear in his direction. He said, I know what God has done. I know what he's done. He said, look, I came into this world naked. I'm going to leave this world naked. He said, the Lord, what I have is from God. And if God chooses to take it, that's his business. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. But I know my purpose. I know my direction. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says, in all of this, Job sinned not. Not saying he didn't have a mountain to climb, but he knew his direction. And now, what are we doing? We're looking at Job's life. We're saying, man, Job can do that. Granted, I don't want God bringing my name up before Satan and say, hey, consider my servant Andrew. I'd rather God didn't do that. But I know if difficulties and trials and difficulties and opposition and persecution and things like that come, man, Job has set a pretty clear path. He set a pretty clear path. You're like, you know what? Hey, if Job can do it, and he didn't even have the Word of God. He didn't have God's Word, the written Word of God here. But he trusted God. He believed God. You know what? I think I might be able to make it too. You see, because of what he has done now, that encourages me to keep going and keep being faithful. We got through two verses. Didn't even get to the main part of the message tonight. I'm telling you, this part is just so important. It's so good. If we'll just grasp this, I'm not saying it's going to make the race easier, but maybe it'll help us get back to where we're supposed to be running. The race that God actually has us on. Look, don't worry about anybody else's race. It's not your job to run their race. You run the race God has for you. You run the race God has for you. You might not be so exhausted because you're trying to run somebody else's race. Or you're trying to run where you're not supposed to run. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Pretty big mountain. But for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, you keep running. You keep running. You keep running. And we'll get more into this next week. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, what a passage of Scripture here. And God, forgive me for I just never really studied this, and I've never really noticed it before. God, I pray you'd help me personally. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need to make sure I'm running my race that you have for me, not somebody else's race. Lord, I need to recognize and realize that I need my faith to be strengthened and tested. God, I'll admit, that scares me. I'd much rather go through life without my faith being tested. Lord, I know to run the race that you want for me to run, I need my faith to be tested. Lord, help us trust you. You know what is best. Lord, there's nothing that the devil can do to us that he does not have to get your permission. Just as he did with Job, before he could do anything to Job, he had to run it by you. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us to trust you and to recognize that there are others running this race and we need their encouragement and they need our encouragement. Lord, we need to run a clear race because there are others that are coming behind us and we don't want them to stumble. We don't want them to fall. We don't want them to get off track because we did as well. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us in this.